This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always alive as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Coming up at 6:30, our NFL tier rankings, every team, we sort them out. Will the Commanders stay on the top line? We'll get to it coming up, but right now it is time for our pick six at six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's dive into it. Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn both speaking today. Normally they speak on Wednesday. It's Tuesday. They play on Thursday. What's a day anymore? Whatever. You get the point.
Number one.
All right, DQ, first question to him on Cliff Kingsbury, a name that came up in a lot of circles today because of the thing that we talked about right at the end of the last hour, which is you've now had both offensive coordinators, now the latest being Shane Waldron in Chicago, get fired in the other places that Cliff interviewed. Oh, yeah, he interviewed for the Raiders. Their OC didn't last the season. Luke Getsy, the former Bears offensive coordinator. The guy that replaced him, Shane Waldron, see ya. Meanwhile, Cliff is thriving here, so Dan Quinn on what it's meant to have and work with Cliff Kingsbury.
A lot that I've grown to appreciate. I've found out the competitor that he is and the detail that he wants to get to with the group. And we've got, we think, a lot more under the hood, you know, about where we can develop and how far we can take it. And Cliff's a really big part of that. He's got incredibly high standards for the group. He's got a very creative mind. Like, if so, to think that all of our playbook has been seen, you would be mistaken. So that part of plays, sometimes that one's not game ready yet. That's not game ready. And so how do those balance with one another? But I know I certainly appreciate him a lot. And he's also got some big picture perspective that he's able to share with me, that he and Anthony can, from, you know, a different chair and a different lens. And so I really appreciate that.
Of course, the other really important relationship, or one of the many other important relationships, is between Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. And Jaden was also asked today about his relationship with his OC.
I mean, it's good. It's just talking, and if I don't like something, let's take it out. Short week, I'm not going to get a lot of reps at a lot of things, so I just got to be stuff that we're comfortable with.
Simple enough. And I think Cliff has that deep understanding as a quarterback himself. Like, hey, if I don't like this play, like, there's only so good it's going to be because I don't trust it. I don't see it well. I don't believe in it. As opposed to like, yeah, man, this is my favorite play. Those guys are going to go make that work. And so how has Jaden continued to work with Cliff in that way? And why has their relationship blossomed in the way that it has?
I'll just say me and Cliff, honestly, is just going out there and focus on what we can control. How can we get the guys ready to go? How can we execute the plays, playing and play out? And just that open communication between me and Cliff, and how we could go out there and, hey, Cliff, I don't like this, or what do you see? This is what I see. This is what I think might work. And he'll go out there and listen to us, and not just me, but just the whole offense as a whole.
I think that's something that Cliff talked about at spots this year, is he wanted to have better relationships, more open communication with his players. And he had some of that in Arizona, but I think he was overwhelmed a bit as a head coach at times, like by his own admission. Maybe he wouldn't use the word overwhelmed, just like didn't have the bandwidth because he had to do the head coachy stuff. And for an offensive coordinator to have those open lines of communication is really important. And he's really dove into the relationships. I think DQ deserves a lot of credit for that as well, because it's something that he preaches and it's something that Cliff has practiced. And you see the results of how well Jaden has done as a rookie.
Number two.
Now, a lot of Jaden's success this year has been predicated on the fact that he is a dual threat. He is one of the best runners at the quarterback position in the league, except for suddenly the last 2 weeks that has gone away, and it basically completely dissipated. 3 carries for 5 yards against Pittsburgh. So what had happened? Dan Quinn addressing that today.
Can I choose option C? Okay, where some of it is circumstantial, where it was by design early on, where maybe less, you know, hits would be good. But past that, we're kind of back into, you know, regular mode of how to operate and going through that. So I would say not circumstantial anymore, but there was less last week. And also tip our hat to Pittsburgh. I thought they did a really good job, too. They've got a good defense, all three levels. And so I think that was a factor as well.
Sounds like the original version of the question was it something Pittsburgh did, or was it Jaden managing the injury? And the answer is yes, sliding scale between A and B. As for Jaden's answer to the same question, like what's been going on? Why haven't you run as much? Why wasn't he able to? Because it's not just the design stuff. It's scrambling. He couldn't scramble at all on Sunday. What happened, Jaden?
I mean, just schematically what Pittsburgh were doing, pretty much disciplining the rush lanes and stuff like that. So zone reads, they're kind of taking me out of the zone read type of situation. So it was just more so just making the right football.
So in the zone read situation specifically, they would just run dead at him. And they were basically like, look, if you beat us on the handoff, you beat us on the handoff. But especially without Brian Robinson, we're way more scared of you pulling it and getting out on the edge. So if there was any hint that there could be a zone read, and sometimes it was a token fake, and sometimes it was maybe a real read. But if that edge player, whether it was Watt or Highsmith or whoever else, was unblocked, they just ran as hard as they could at Jaden Daniels. So the read there is give the ball up or you get crunched. And there's no cheap shots by Pittsburgh, but like they made contact, which is exactly what you're supposed to do, what you're allowed to do. And it kind of just says like, hey, you better hand this thing. They're making the right call. Hand it again. Hand it again. I'm still coming. I'm going to be here. You better keep handling it. And that then begs the question, like, okay, well, is that something other teams can do? Are defenses adjusting to Jaden Daniels, or is that something unique to Pittsburgh? Jaden asked about teams adjusting to him earlier today.
I mean, I would say every game is different. It just depends on the coordinator. So I can't say it's a direction change, but, you know, just going out there and just kind of adjusting to how what I see and this is what they're doing. So basically answer your question, man, it's game by game.
That sounds about right to me. Are they adjusting? Everyone is, every single game. And that's going to be not just this season, not just next season, as he's a young player. That is life in the NFL. You have to be able to understand what other teams are trying to do to you each and every week. It is a constant changing of circumstances, because it's not just Jaden and what he's learning and what teams are afraid of. It's what receivers are available, the O-line, and perhaps the guy that we're about to talk about.
Number three.
Brian Robinson. It's a lot easier on a zone read to be like, hey, just go ahead and hand the ball off every time when you're not handing it to Brian Robinson. And you're handing it instead, with all due respect, to Jeremy McNichols and Austin Eckler. They're different kinds of runners, both dangerous in their own way, both good NFL football players, but they are different than a bruiser Brian Robinson that has been an essential part of the Commanders run game this season. And Dan Quinn was asked about the impact B-Rob had and has had and kind of where he is from a health standpoint in anticipation of Thursday.
I wouldn't say it's harder, but we'll go through, you know, more full speed work tomorrow. And lucky for me, tomorrow we get to meet after practice again. That's 3 days in a row together. That's awesome for us, you guys, you know what I mean? So we'll get the chance to visit on that tomorrow. It's a big deal. I was like, why is everybody missing this right now? So, but I will have a better sense, John, because we do more of the speed. But on the side, we work through stuff and, you know, get guys to their spots. So we won't really have the best sense until I visit with you tomorrow, because that's where the speed will be. But the ones that will be out today will just be those.
So B-Rob missed practice today. He was asked in the locker room by Ben Standing, amongst others, like what his status is. And I saw Standing tweet out B-Rob saying he thinks that he'll be able to play on Thursday. So we'll see if he can get cleared tomorrow. And to the press corps, wake up. That was kind of a funny bit from DQ. He's catching you sleeping. Everyone's staring. Everyone's too busy tweeting. Less tweeting. More paying attention. Snap to it. As for what Jaden Daniels said about B-Rob and this run game, how important it is to have him as a part of the attack, here's JD on his backfield mate.
Yeah, I mean, that's something just schematically up to the coaches. You know, if the scramble lane is there and I could get through, you know, if none's there in the pass game, you know, I take off and run. But, you know, we'll worry about Philly this week. Obviously, we go back and we self-scout, but, you know, how can we be better for Philly this week? So we'll see the output the performance that we put on Thursday.
So they're talking about how he balances the running game and getting himself involved, and obviously a lot easier if B-Rob is back there. That's the first half of our pick six. When we get back, we'll talk about some more Philly-specific things. Their front, Saquon, these young Eagles DBs that are starting to really come on. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our NFL tier rankings coming up in just a few here on the Hoffman Show, but let's finish out our pick six as Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels both spoke today. And after looking back one last time at the Steelers, it is time to look ahead to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Number four.
The Eagles' defensive front is not the Steelers' defensive front, but it is definitely really good. And it starts with Josh Sweat and Jalen Carter. Obviously, Jordan Davis is pretty darn good as well. But Dan Quinn, about Sweat and Carter, who are the best pass rushers that will be chasing after Jaden Daniels Thursday night.
Yeah, I thought Vic, you know, from a system standpoint, is really strong. And a lot of it from the disguise look, is it quarters, is it cover three? And they have a very solid way of disguising that and using that. All of that is driven by the ability of the guys up front to sometimes play two gap, to sometimes penetrate. And Jalen inside has the ability to do both. And there's lots of players that have enough initial quickness to, you know, jump the ball and, you know, as a rusher. But when you have the ability to do both, that makes you a rare player, where I can play square on a block and play it in the run game, or I can get up the field to pass rush. So he has the ability to do both, and I think that's what makes him a really unique player. Sweat on the outside, obviously, the speed, the length, all those are there. But when you have those big fellas that have that twitch like a smaller guy, that's hard to find.
It is, and they'll have to have a plan for him for sure inside. And it sucks right now because Biotis is banged up, so a short week, less than ideal. But we'll see if they can get Cornelius Lucas back, and if they use him, if Wiley's back and they use him. Obviously, those guys will be outside, but definitely be better than having Trent Scott play. Because, like, Scott, if he's going to play, needs reps, and you're not getting reps this week. The timing, the physicality is just not there But even if they could just get the timing, it'd be a lot better. And some of the issues they had were very timing-based. So getting Andrew Wiley back next to John Bates and Ben Sinnott and then Sam Cosmi on the other side, I think will go a long way. As for how Jaden Daniels sees that Eagles front, here he is.
I mean, very good front, very young. I wouldn't say very young, but they're younger guys. You got Jalen Carter and those type of guys that are very athletic, can get after the passer, can stop and run. So it's going to be a good challenge.
Definitely be a good challenge. I don't think they're built the same way and with the same discipline that Pittsburgh has. I think Jaden will have a better week and will be more effective as a runner this week. Hard to be less effective, just, you know, factually, statistically. But I think that you're talking about a very different challenge. Not that it's not a challenge, but a very different challenge. Speaking of different challenges, oh my goodness.
Number five.
Saquon Barkley. He's really good, and he is playing some of the best football of his career. Dan Quinn has obviously seen him a lot. Barkley, his entire career in the NFC East, Dan Quinn in Dallas, and now obviously here getting ready for him. So what has Saquon done to this Eagles offense and specifically their rushing attack?
Yeah, he's an incredible player. I think the combination, you know, where he can take somebody's leverage and try to work outside because he has the speed to go and then the ability to spin or to change leverage. And so that, to me, is a factor in itself, the ability to start and stop, you know, with that explosive nature that he has and try to break somebody's leverage. So the tackling, the angles, you want to make sure that point is really hammered home over and over. So, that, yeah, he's an incredible player, great hands, you know, the run game, the pass game. So when you see him in the Giants doing similar things, now doing similar things here, that transfers.
Yeah, to say the least. What else is DQ telling his guys about facing Saquon?
The front-wise, it's challenging because of his ability to jump cut, and he may be in the right gap where you think you're supposed to be, and he's got such quickness to accelerate out of that cut. So you don't want a lot of one-man tackles, you know, on a ball player of his ability where he can change and spin and use things. He's also an effective player out of the backfield, on screens, on swings. He can, you know, catch routes that are down the field that sometimes don't go to the running backs, but in his case, they can. So, yeah, he's an exceptional player, one that we love competing against, but he really has unique skills, like a lot of guys do. Might be a receiver some weeks, a, you know, tight end this week, a quarterback, and so it is, you know, kind of a cool part of the NFL. They've got a number of guys that will test you and push you to the limit, and that's what makes, you know, playing in this, like I said, this division against this team a lot of fun.
That's the problem, is it's not just Saquon. And I was thinking, like, who's Washington going to put on Saquon? Like, you put Percy Butler on him because he's fast as hell. And, like, hey, Percy, you're either going to get downhill and be stopping the run. Or, like, if Saquon runs one of these real wheel routes, we want to make sure we have a guy on him. Like, you don't want Bobby Wagner on him from a speed perspective. Luvu is interesting. But also, you know, you put him on Luvu on Saquon. And then if you're a man and now all of a sudden who's covering you know, Dallas Goedert. Okay, well, now let's put Jeremy Chinn on him. Okay, now we got Kwon over top, safety help, single high, and you got A.J. Brown on one side and Devontae Smith on the other. Like, they're a nightmare in terms of the talent that they have and individual brilliance. And before we move on from Saquon too far, by the way, speaking of individual brilliance, what did Jaden Daniels think of the Saquon reverse hurdle a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I seen it. I think the whole world seen it. I mean, it was wild that somebody to pull that off. So it's going to be fun just to go out there and compete against those guys, even though we're not going to be on the field at the same time. But it's going to be fun knowing that those guys are on this, on the other side of the ball. They got explosive players that can go out there and make plays.
They sure do. I saw, Anthony, a video the other day. There was like a high school kid who tried the reverse hurdle. Guess how that went for him?
Landed on his neck.
He basically got caught in the air and then tossed down, spun like a helicopter.
Yeah.
You knew someone was going to try it. Kids, if you're out there listening, say you're a big NFL fan, you love the show, and you're a high school football player, thank you for spending your afternoons with us. I really appreciate it. Please don't try to reverse hurdle. Just a message from us at the Hoffman Show to you. You're, as Merrill Hodge used to say, you're a running back, not a jumping back. And you're certainly not a reverse jumping back. So, you know, let's let's eliminate that the best we can.
Number six.
All right, last but not least in our pick six, top storylines of the day at 6 o'clock every single day. These young Eagles defensive backs are really starting to come into their own. Kenyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and Dan Quinn was asked specifically today about Mitchell.
Well, I thought, number one, going through that process, like we got a chance to study a lot of those guys, you know, as we were in that same space of looking at players. And so no surprise to see the speed matchups and the ability to stay attached in the coverage. They've got a good system. So disguise and mans and zones to go. But they've been impressive so far to me of staying connected, which is hard to do. And this division has some good receivers, you know, and you can see those matchups. How do I go about it? Where do I go? He's off to, you know, both of them are off to an excellent start.
Good start. Speaking of guys who are, you know, rookies off to a good start, know a little something about being a rookie succeeding in the NFL. Jaden on the young challenge or facing fellow rookies in this matchup.
I mean, not at all. I mean, they pretty much could probably say the same thing of me, a young quarterback. So just go out there and just play ball. Take what the defense gives us. If we get one-on-one opportunities, we got to capitalize on them, and we go from.
I will say, Terry McLaurin, there's something about seeing that green. I don't know, like, if Terry just hated Michigan State when he was at Ohio State. I don't know if he grew up hating, you know, his youth football rival wore green. I don't know what it is. There's something about when he sees those Eagles uniforms that he turns into an even scarier version of himself. He has been a Eagle killer from literally the first game of his career, a 2-touchdown performance that I remember sitting in the press box for way back in 2019. So Kenyon Mitchell's real good. Can Terry beat him? Absolutely. Same thing for Cooper DeJean. But I do think down the depth chart, there's going to be some interesting matchups, and there's a lot to get to. We'll get to it over the next 2 days here on the Hoffman Show. That's our pick six at six. Biggest storylines of the day at 6 o'clock. If you ever are a little bit late or you get home early and you miss it, but you're like, hey, I really want to make sure I get caught up, you can always check that out, set out in its own segment in our podcast feed. Just search The Hoffman Show wherever you listen to your pods. When we get back, what we normally do at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays in lieu of a pick six, because it's typically the Commanders' off day when they're on a short week, we fill that time with our NFL tier rankings. Four groups, where does every team rank? We slot them. Do the Commanders stay in our top tier as they were last week after the loss to Pittsburgh? Answers next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.